One more time, we want to congratulate all the dads and fatherly men in the life of this church. May you have a happy day today. Also, I would like to recognize Bill Ramsey, who is worshiping with us this morning. Glad to have Bill here with us. Then we have a little bit younger man who is with us from Nashville, Tennessee. His name is Alex Mundine. Welcome, Alex. We are always interested to see how his career is progressing down there. And if you are a musician and you want to get involved in a music industry, I guess Nashville is the place to be. Am I right? Yep. Glad to have you also this morning. And you all, glad to have you here in the church. We have a wonderful first service. Lots of people in the first service already this morning. So this is Trinity Sunday as we follow our church annual liturgy. One Sunday at a time. After this is going to be a so-called ordinary season till Advent season starts. So we are going to have more flexibility and freedom in what we choose to preach. Am I right? Now, hopefully we have freedom every Sunday to preach. But Trinity Sunday is a little bit different, because if you think about Holy Trinity, believing in Triune God, which is the foundation of any Christian church, really. But Trinity Sunday can prove difficult for preaching. Why I'm saying this? Because actually, this is the only Sunday of the liturgical year calendar that is commemorating a doctrine rather than an event in the life of Christ. But I am not giving you a lecture on the doctrine. I might be able to do that, maybe. But I am with our church father, John Wesley, who said when some Anglican colleagues ask him, what are these Methodist societies all about? Since the early Methodists stayed with the Church of England, and John Wesley was the fifth ordained Anglican priest in his family, fifth generation, excuse me. So he never left Anglican Church or Church of England, even he was the founder of Methodism and Methodist Church. He said, well, you are asking what the Methodist Church is all about, whether we believe in Triune God or what we think about different matters. I can give you a book. I can give you a lecture. I can give you many books about it, what our doctrine is. But the best way to understand what a Methodist Church is all about, or the Methodist Society is all about, you come to listen to what we preach. You come to hear what we pray and how we pray. You listen and join us as we sing our praises to our Triune God. And then you witness how we love each other. Now that is what Methodism is all about. Is this the Methodist Church for you this morning? I think it is. So instead of giving you a lecture on how we believe in the Trinity as Protestant churches, other mainline Protestant churches too, I would like to remind us that our faith and beliefs comes and becomes obvious through our worship. It should be seen the way we worship, put in other words. The psalm writer in Psalm 95 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Well, we have done it already, am I right? Led by our youth and Christy. So our simply definition for the practice of worship can be like this. We are attributing worth to God. through our triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We believe there is one God in three persons. And we worship our God, one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The presence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we go to our Heavenly Father through the name and by Jesus Christ is obvious as we worship. So worship is connecting us all with our heavenly reality, with the Holy Trinity. This is what we do when we worship. This is not a society meeting where we make some decisions for the future ministry. That can be a business meeting. Worship is something different. When we talk about this feasibility process that we've been following as a team, so we will think about how to distribute these reports to our church member. Our first thing we thought, well, we give them out Sunday morning. And one of our team members said, after all, that no, we don't want to do that. We want to worship together. And then we go back to these reports beginning Monday and giving Connie a little bit more job. Tomorrow morning, as you all are requesting, Connie, please email it to me or send it to me or have it ready for me when I come. And Connie's going to do it for you. It's an amazing thing. What every pastor needs is a good secretary. That's the must thing. And I got one right here. So we are worshiping here this morning with the Holy Trinity. Regardless of method, whether we're praising Him, when we just listen, when we just bring ourselves into His presence, whether there's physical expressions by clapping hands or raising our hands, or maybe taking a few steps or dancing. I don't see that too often, but I guess that would be okay too. We are both believing of Him, and we are communicating to God. Here's what we communicate. God, you are worthy. You are worthy to receive my praise, my adoration, my obedience, my heartfelt love. My words that so often fall short, but God, you are worthy. So, as we worship this morning to triune God, here's one question. How to honor God in the way He deserves? Considering who He is, how can I honor God through worship the way He deserves? What can I say to my Savior? What can I say to Almighty loving God? What can I say to the Holy Spirit, this inspiration of my faith, this counselor, this protector of my life? When you worship, when I worship, when we worship God for who He is, actually, at the same time, simultaneously, we are expressing certain convictions. I don't want to say that you have to always go back to this list to make sure that I cover this list to make sure that I worship well. But yes, we are expressing some convictions to God when we worship. What do we say? We say, I believe in the Trinity, and I declare He's the only and true and one God in the whole universe. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What else you might say when you worship? You say, I believe God is involved in my life and He cares about me and my daily life. So yes, God I worship is my personal God. This is not just a formality that I'm worshiping. I'm expressing my commitment, my love to my personal God. God has become my personal God when I accepted Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. And I learned that there is such a thing than purpose for my life. There's calling. There is wonderful calling for me, whether it's a laity or a clergy or whatever you are called to do, that's your calling. That's your purpose to follow. What else we might say as we worship? What is the expression, conviction of your life when you worship? You may say, I believe God has provided a way for me to be made right with God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is your personal salvation. Think about this. So many people are wandering around, asking questions, sometimes deeper and sometimes not all that deep questions. What is this life all about? What am I here for? Is God really existing? What is this faith all about? They are asking these questions. I meet these people all the time, and to me it's always an opportunity to share my faith. Not pass judgments, because then the doors will be closed, sometimes forever. But to share our witness and testimony. Yes, there's such a thing as salvation through our loving God, through Jesus Christ. What else you may say when you worship? You say, I agree that God's word directs my life, my beliefs, my actions. I do believe in the Holy Bible. I do believe that it is the divine word of God. It's the foundation of my life. Then you say, I believe I have significance because of the position and worth God has given to me. I have identity in Christ. That's a big thing, friends. When you worship, you are expressing your identity to your personal God who loves you, who cares for you as you are. He created you. You are not an accident or mistake, or you are not imperfect in His eyes, but you are perfectly beautiful in His eyes as you are. What might be another conviction? You say, I recognize you, God, are the head of the church. We don't come here to worship pastor or leaders who are on the stage here. We may show appreciation once in a while if they deserve, but we are here to worship one God, Heavenly Father, who has reached out for our hearts through Christ Jesus and given His Holy Spirit into our hearts. And I desire to provide compassion to those who need, because God is passionate and compassionate. We are worshiping God who is compassionate God. He can cry with you when you suffer. He rejoices with you when you are happy. He can sympathize and empathize with you. Wherever you need God, God is there for you. Remember, He didn't promise us an easy ride, but He has promised His presence wherever we are this morning. And then God is the owner of all things, including me. So this is the privilege of stewardship in the life of His church. We are stewards through which God works good things in this world and this community. It is through you, my friend. It is through you. When you are open for His Holy Spirit, He works wonderful things through your life and the purpose He gave for you. And then what might be another conviction among many is, I believe God has provided a way for me to live with Him forever, which is there will be eternal home for us when we finish our course here on the earth. This past Thursday, we had a beautiful memorial service for Sari Van Dellen. The flowers on the altar are from this memorial service. What a beautiful tribute it was from the family, for their mother. And the family was here in the first service. And what a wonderful thing was to be with them Thursday, but also during these coming days. To be walking alongside with them, with prayers and words of grace and all that we need during times of grief and mourning. So when you worship the triune God for who He is, now sometimes we believe we need to worship God because He has blessed me so tremendously. Look at me, I have a beautiful house and I have couple of cars on my driveway, and my family is perfect, and I'm complete. I'm having good health, and I have a couple of hundreds on my bank account, and you name it. I need to get back to church to thank him for all this. Well, it's good to be thankful, but we are worshiping God for way deeper reasons. We are worshiping God because of who he is. Even you didn't have a dime in your pocket. By the way, one day I was dealing with a gentleman here at the door. Since you have given your pastor this pastor's emergency fund, and it's a great tool to extend our love and care for the community and people who are not quite there where you might be today. And I can promise to you guys that this man I was helping and listening to and trying to walk with him a little while, after receiving something to me fairly small token, and a cash of food, a bag of food, he said, "Pastor, I feel I'm the happiest person in the world. I'm the happiest person in the world." And of course I said, "Well, I'm glad to hear that." But I walk inside back in my office and back to my duties there, I said, "Very little help from my side made somebody the happiest person in the world." But that is when you worship the triune God. You get these opportunities to make somebody happy by giving fairly something little bit that will help somebody else to take one more step or to live one more day without worrying what I eat or so forth. In Jesus' encounter with a woman from Samaria, you remember the story, as this lady drew water from a well, before too long the conversation went to the subject of worship. And this lady said to Jesus that, "I can see that you are a prophet. I can see that you are a prophet." And then she continued saying that our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And then our Lord responded to her, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Then Lord continues saying, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Instead of giving this lady a lecture on Holy Trinity, Jesus started talking about real worship, what it's all about. What is real worship all about? Sometimes some of you come to me after worship service and they say, and you say, "Pastor, I noticed that you got a little emotional at one point in this sermon that I know it was close subject to you. I said I'm thankful that you noticed that. It just tells that my soul is still living. I'm engaging with divine reality. I am not just a preaching automat or being paid to say something to congregation Sunday morning. I live with this. This is my life, and so is with you. When you talk about merciful God and loving God and the grace you've been receiving and given, if you don't get emotional, you need to get on your knees, friends." You need to get on your knees. If the word of God, if the grace of God, if the care of God does never make you emotional. Friends, we need to get on our knees. Although I believe I'm a rational person, I make my decision not based on my emotions, but I try to deal with the reality and facts. But I am so thankful to God that I have emotions that I can worship through. And they are part of my worship life. Always been that way. Jesus is stating that the true worship, as we worship the triune God, is not about being at a precise geographic location, but rather about having an intimate spiritual longing and relationship with Almighty God. Still, I would like to see you Sunday morning here, because this is a family time. When, if anything in this world can lift you up, it is to see your brothers and sisters waiting for the worship to start. There's holy longing going on. There is something unexplained going on within hearts and souls. As a pastor, I feel, God, if you don't have nothing to give, I might just remain sitting, because I don't have what my congregation needs if you don't give it to me. God seeks worshipers who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will attribute word to him in any location, but for right reasons. For right reasons. And the reason you came here this morning to church is you yourself. You are asking God to please feed me by your word and by the presence of your Holy Spirit as you worship God. The psalm writer says in Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Sometimes I read these psalms early in the morning. Serva may be already gone, and if she leaves early, and I'm getting ready to come to office, but I start reading psalms for myself. So our dog, Rose, who is an American pit bull, red-nosed pit bull, is my only audience. So I'm not going to take my theology too far on, you know, how ready dogs are for worship, but our Rose is. So even she is sleeping, when she hears me start reading psalms for myself, and I read aloud, I feel I need to hear what I'm reading. So she wakes up and she comes standing right beside me, and she is my only audience. I said, Rose, you are my church this morning, and she seems to be very comfortable with that. But she is not. She's been trained not to correct my mistakes. She's okay with it. Psalm 1:9, verse 30 says, with my mouth I will gladly and greatly extol the Lord. In the great throne of worshipers, I will praise his holy name. So lastly, but not leastly, what is the Trinity Church at Berea UMC? It is today as we commemorate the Trinity Sunday, but I believe Trinity Sunday ought to be every Sunday, every single Sunday. When you attribute worth to God as a child of God, unmerited worth is attributed back to you. Blessings come back to you as you praise the name of Jesus, among others. There is, by the way, you know the Bible. There is, by the way, a story in the 2 Samuel chapter 6. You remember this story when God asked David to go and bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And I don't go and explain all the different side roads that, you know, where the Ark of Covenant had been traveling. But anyway, it was a clear assignment, precise assignment from God to David to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, to God's people. And at this time, instead of doing his own way, David decided to follow God's plan, which is a very important thing. As they were coming and entering back to Jerusalem, the Bible says that as David, and there was actually four other guys with David, as they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is the picture of Christ, you know that? Bringing Christ to Jerusalem, putting it this way, David got overwhelmed as he witnessed that the God's people were cheering up their king and singing praises to God. And somebody started playing trumpet. And there's lots of sounds and singing and praising and playing trumpets. That was noisy gathering. And this king, David, got excited about this scene. So little by little, he decided to start humbling himself in the eyes of God before the Israelites. What he did was, one layer at a time, he started taking this royal clothing off. Up to the point that he got into his underwear. There's a different name in the Bible for this, but that is what it means. Now, even this is Father's Day, I'm not asking you fathers to follow this example, at least here in the church. But he did that. He was overwhelmed by the power and grace of God. So he wanted to humble himself. And the Israel was excited that finally the Ark of the Covenant is with us, among us. God is not far from us anymore. We can see his presence. My goodness, we can feel his presence. Our king, even the king, is getting so excited. He's humbling himself before everyone else. And this is, friends, what worship service is all about at Berea United Methodist Church. This is to bring the Ark of the Covenant, to bring Christ right in the middle of our Sunday morning gatherings. By singing, by praying, by praising, by preaching, by handshakes, by blessings. This is all about what worship services are all about as we worship the Holy Trinity. Bringing the Ark of the Covenant, bringing Christ back into our gatherings, back into our lives. Christ who has said, I will be with you to the ends of the world. I will never leave you. I will never turn my back to you. I am going to be with you. I am your salvation. Christ is our Ark of the Covenant. And sometimes it makes us excited when we humble our hearts. We break in tears. We are having a hard time to say what we should say. But we just feel his presence. And this is what happens when we worship the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is with us this morning. Something to take home in order to worship right. You have to forget everything else. But you need to make sure that you bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Christ himself, back into your heart. Back into your heart. Back into your family. Back into your friendship connections, your workplace, whatever you are doing. And that brings excitement and power and all that you need back into your life. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship time by the Minister of Giving. If the ushers can come forward at this time, we